We open with hymn number 32. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord,
Let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Bow down your ear, O Lord, and hear me. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. You, O Lord, are a God full of compassion. O turn to me and have mercy upon me. Give your strength to your servant, and save the son of your maidservant. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Bow down your ear, O Lord, and hear me. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long.
us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all thy benefits, that thou hast given us life and graciously sustained us unto this day. We beseech thee, take not thy blessing from us. Preserve us from covetousness, that we may serve thee only, love and abide in thee, and not defile ourselves by idolatrous love of mammon, but hope and trust only in thy grace through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this 15th Sunday after Trinity is found in the first, in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, verses 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there, gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. The epistle lesson is found in the 25th chapter of Galatians, chapter 5, verses through chapter 6, verse 10. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia, alleluia. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
gospel is found in the 6th chapter of Matthew, verses 24 through 34.
Glory to
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 529.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson this morning is the gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, nor do they gather. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, Bob Marley wrote a song about three little birds who went around singing a message to the world, "Don't worry about a thing. Every little thing's gonna be all right." I don't know if Mr. Marley got his idea for this song from our gospel lesson today, but it seems likely. Jesus tells us, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? With all due respect to Bob Marley, don't worry is not a happy-go-lucky bit of advice, but a firm admonition from our gracious God and Savior, Jesus Christ. As Jesus compares us to the flowers of the field, which are beautifully clothed today, but tomorrow the field is cut down and may be burned, he tells us, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? We who are of the Christian faith still worry about food, clothing, about health and peace and safety and all these things. And when we worry, Jesus is showing us that this is because our faith is little. It is weak and small. There is truly no need to worry when we have such a good and gracious God, when we have our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. However small our faith may be, his works are still wonderful and mighty. Because he has not only provided for all of our bodily needs in the past, as he will do so in the future, but he has gone much further. He has taken away our sins. He has even conquered death so that it has lost its sting and it's now just asleep. And if Jesus has conquered such mighty enemies like sin and death, what is there left to worry about? But worry we do. Worry is not a trifling matter, you see, because wherever your faith is weak, behind it somewhere there lies sin. You may think it's your right to worry. In fact, you may have fallen into the dreadful opinion that it's good to worry about the future, and that if you don't worry, you would be careless or lazy, irresponsible. Worrying is taking things seriously like a good Midwestern German American should. After all, if you don't worry about the future, aren't you taking God's grace for granted? Yet Jesus tells us that this is the sign of a weak faith. Worrying is truly a sin, and like all sins, it falls under the Ten Commandments. Specifically, it falls under the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Well, how is that? How is worry having another god? Well, think about it. We Americans like to imagine that we are free and sovereign citizens with the God-given right to self-rule, to be our own masters, to be the masters of our own destinies. But none of that is true. Our rulers may be elected, but they are still our rulers. And in the end, every man must bow before the throne of God himself. Self-rule is an illusion. You no more rule yourself than you can live longer just by thinking hard enough about it. But if you are not your own master, if you are not in control of your life, then where do all these worries come from? If you have a powerful, gracious, and merciful God who governs everything in the world, then there's nothing to worry about. How could you possibly worry when your master is the one who created all life, who feeds all living creatures to this day, who has the power to send rain, and who causes the crops to grow? You only have to worry if your God is not powerful or merciful or gracious. And if you are truly your own master, then you do have good reason to worry, because your God is not very reliable. And of course, that means that you are also an idolater, because you've made a God out of your money or resources, and ultimately out of yourself. You see, your God is what you put your trust in. When you are unable to fix your problems, to make more money, to get healthy, to end conflict, to avoid bankruptcy or poverty or homelessness, and these things lead you to worry or despair, then you're putting your trust in a God who is unable to care for your needs. When you think that if only you had enough money to end all worry about food and clothing, to get that bigger house or that car that always starts the first time in the winter, then your money is your master. And your worries are your false worship to your false God. And even if you were to argue that it is not the worship of a false God, that you worship God alone, well, what does that say about your regard for God? Do you really think that he's so powerless and uncaring that he will abandon you to hunger, nakedness, or homelessness? You see, that also is idolatry, because to think about God as if he were less powerful or less loving and gracious than he is would really be to make him just like the gods which men invent, gods which fail to do or do not care about the people who worship them. How can you imagine that the same God who so loved you and all the world, that he would send his own son into human flesh to atone for your sins, would now leave you to starve or go without the needs for your body? Does he have so much power to take upon himself the sins of the whole world, to daily and richly forgive your sins, and yet he has no power at all to provide food and clothing and shelter? But I suppose it's not surprising after all, because every religion but the Lutheran faith seems bound and determined to cast doubt upon God's sure and certain salvation, so that whether it's the Pope or the Baptist, they rebuke poor Christians for being sure that Jesus is not only the Savior, but he's your Savior. They tell you that faith is not enough and that you must do more. You must rely upon yourself, your dedication to God, your decision to follow Christ, the genuineness of your faith. And God, on the other hand, is powerless to save you through the washing of baptism or the preaching of the word or through the body and blood of his supper. God, after all, must not have any power at all. It must all be you. All this doubt, all this worrying is doubting God himself, his sure and his certain promises to save both your soul and your body. No man can serve two masters, Jesus said. That literally means that no one can be a slave to two lords. Yes, you can serve your various governments, local and national, your parents, your teachers, your employers, or whatever authorities God placed over you, because all of them has their authority in their own place. And through serving them, you serve the Lord Jesus. But no one can be owned by both God and by money. You can be a slave to God or a slave to things, but not to both. Much less can you be your own master. To be a slave to mammon is to serve mammon, to serve your money. And it is a guarantee that your life will be one of endless worry, because mammon is such an unreliable master. Like the grass of the field, it also looks very pretty today, but tomorrow it may be gone. And even if it remains in abundance, it really cannot help you. Ask any rich man if his money has made him happy, and he will tell you that he worries now more than when he was poor. Before, he worried about not having enough, and now he worries about losing and maintaining what he has. And so Jesus does not use the words, "O you of little faith," lightly. He treats very seriously the words which come from doubting God's grace for you. But like any good physician, our Lord Jesus does not only diagnose our sinful condition, he also administers the cure. He reminds you, your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things, and he tenderly invites you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Notice that Jesus doesn't tell you to strive to be righteous. He does not promise to take care of you if you first clean up your life and stop sinning. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not our righteousness, but his righteousness. Where is God's kingdom to be found? Where is his righteousness? Well, his kingdom is where Jesus said, it is among us. Wherever two or three are gathered together in his name. And his righteousness is wherever he forgives your sins. For wherever Jesus forgives you, he is giving you God's own righteousness in exchange for your sin. If you are going to be saved, that's the only way. Look at how well you do on your own. Your worry is proof that your righteousness has failed you already 1,000 times. Your own decision to follow Christ gives you no comfort. Your dedication to your family, your country, or your job has not ended the idolatry of worry in your life. But here comes Jesus. And he comes not demanding that you stop these things before he will help you. Instead, he takes your worries upon himself at the same time that he takes away your sin. He tells you, these are now mine, and because they are mine, they're no longer your concern. And he does not leave you empty and without. In place of your worries, he gives you his righteousness. For where you bowed down to the idols of mammon or self-reliance, he has been righteous in your place. He says, now you have failed to trust in your own righteousness. Now trust in mine. And so that your Midwestern American worrying self does not reassert itself, he places his kingdom right in your midst. He dwells with you in his word. He drowns your old man in the waters of your baptism. He places the very body and blood which he gave upon the cross unto death for your sins into the bread and wine on the altar, so that you are constantly reminded and assured that you have the righteousness of God himself, that you are in his kingdom right now. You don't have to look for it. He brings it to you. His word and his righteousness cast all doubt aside, so that you can be certain that your Father in heaven loves you. He will not withhold your bodily needs in anger. He will not punish you because of your weak faith. He does not see your sins anymore. They are drowned in your baptism with Christ. They are washed away in his blood. You are not foreigners or strangers in his house, or merely passing guests coming now and leaving. You are here as his sons and his daughters. So that just as you care for your own children and will not throw them out onto the street or starve them, neither will your Father in heaven do the same to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What a wonderful comfort. Tomorrow is what is in God's hands. If the worries are always for tomorrow to care about, then you're forever freed of them, because it's never tomorrow. It's always today. Only God knows and governs tomorrow. He alone ordains the course of the future. If all of our worries belong to tomorrow, then they belong to God and not to us. As for today and its troubles, you have your vocation, your job as a parent, as a citizen, the daily burdens of the work that God has placed before you. In these you can serve your neighbor, and that's trouble enough for you. And truly, it's an easy and light burden to bear only what God places before you right here and right now, because you are already assured of his compassion for you through Jesus Christ. Therefore, leave your worries for tomorrow, and today be glad to have the kingdom of God and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Soon tomorrow will come, the tomorrow of eternal life, when your burdens will all pass away. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray.
O living God, in whose providence even the smallest creatures find their needs met, we draw near to thee seeking the same for ourselves. We thank and praise thee for all thy goodness and mercy. But most earnestly do we glorify thee for the gift of thy Son, Jesus, whom thou didst send to deliver us from the due reward of our transgressions, and by whose resurrection thou hast reserved for us the unfading crown of life. Grant unto us faith in thy power and goodness, that we may ever trust thee for all our daily needs, and fulfill the duties of each day without fear and anxiety for tomorrow, knowing that thou orderest all things according to thy word and carest for all thy children. Bestow thy grace upon us so that we seek not the vanities of this world, nor the deceitfulness of riches, but ever set our hearts on the treasures of thy kingdom and to the righteousness which is by faith. Let thy word dwell in us richly, so that in love we may assist each other in our trials and infirmities. Grant that we may especially be inclined to do good for the household of faith. Endow thy church with humility and compassion, that the love of Christ may shine upon the fallen, the wayward, and the heavy laden. Strengthen thy servants everywhere, that they may not grow weary in well-doing. Shed thy light upon the nations, that they might turn unto thee, and that all kindreds and peoples may worship thee. Bless our land, that thy reverence and truth may prevail in government, in the halls of commerce, industry, research, and education. Through life's short day, bless our families. Be with them in sorrow or joy, sickness or health. disappointment or success, and preserve them with thy grace. Forgive our sins, O Lord, and teach us that thou art a God who in righteousness and mercy rules and governs all men. And since we cannot and we can do no good thing without thee, quicken us by thy Spirit that we may remember the loving kindness which thou hast shown us in thy Son, and so perform works of faith, love, and hope until we join the saints above in blessed, joyful, and abundant life through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. We sing hymn number 437.
Unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Now may his precious body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death on the cross for your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus, shed for your sins. Take the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you, for the remission of your sins. Now may his true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. He is good,
and his mercy endures forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen. We sing hymn 396.
Keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.